In Pasuk Yud Aleph in Perek Yud. Im Yishach Hanochash Bela Lochash Ve'en Yisron Lebal Haloshan. That's the famous Pasuk of Lashon Hara. This is the way Chazal touched it. Rashi touches a little differently. Let's see, Rashi first. Im Yishach Hanochash Bela Lochash. Lachash is the snake charmer. Charming of the snake. So in Yishach Hanochash Bela Lochash, if the snake bites because the snake charmer didn't do his job, then Ve'en Yisron Bala Loshan, so what good is it for him? In other words, his job it was to charm the snakes, but it shouldn't bite. He shouldn't think that he'll gain. In other words, he was lazy, he couldn't be bothered to do it. So he's not going to gain from that. So Rashi says, it goes on a chacham. Kach im b'nei ircho nechsholim b'yisurin machmas she'en chacham doiga shlahem u'melamdom as chukei ha'tore. The people in the city do averos because the rov doesn't tell them that it's also. Ein yisro en lo b'shtikosa v'lo yistaka, shouldn't think that by permitting the people to do what they want to do, that he's going to become popular, or he's going to gain anything from it. Doesn't work that way. On the contrary, he lose their respect. They have a rov, they know that that's his job, they want to hear from him, that's why they have him. And if he's going to not tell them what's wrong, then he's not going to gain from it. That's the way Rashi learns. But Chazal dashed the pasuk very much on the issue of Lashon Hara. And it's a sort of an assumption that the pasuk seems to make, that beloy lachash, the snake is going to bite. I mean, as surely, I mean, that's perhaps another way of touching the pasuk, perhaps the pshuta shel mikra. Im yishach hanochash b'loy lochash, as surely as the snake is going to bite, if you're not going to charm it, so too a person is going to talk lashon hara, and yisroin lebal lashon. So what's being said here is like this, that the urge to talk Lashon Hara, the urge which every person has to say something nasty about somebody else, is or comes as naturally to him as biting does to a snake. And as surely as you can't prevent the snake from biting unless you charm it and you sort of persuade it not to to bite, so then if you think that you're going to not talk Lashon Hara without doing anything about it, you're wrong. You will. In other words, unless you do the equivalent of lachash, the equivalent of the snake charming, to prevent you from talking, the bottom line is that you're going to talk Lashon Hara. And the Chazalim are full of the Mesholim for that, like the Nochash bites in one place, and the poison spreads all over the body of the person who was bitten. It can bite you in a finger. If you lose a finger, it's not so gefährlich. You can live without a finger, but then the poison spreads and it kills the mind, it kills the heart, right? So the Loshen also can kill from the distance. Lots of Mesholim over there. The Iker Moshel, which Chazal said, more in Chagiga, that Niskapzu Kol Achayis Eitzel Hanochosh V'omru Lo Ma Hanoa. In other words, the nochash bites. It doesn't bite because it enjoys the taste of human blood or whatever it is. It bites the shame biting. So the chayis came to the nochash and had a tiny to her, ma hano yeshlecha. Same sense is the issa of Lashon Hara. There is really no hanoah. In other words, when we usually talk about hanoahs, we talk about a chasaron. In other words, I'm cold. That's a chesaron. So I put on a jacket or I get under a blanket. So now that has been memale my chesaron. Now I'm warm. I'm hungry, so I eat. Body has chesaron. There are certain things which a person is lacking. Physical needs. And he fills those. Sometimes he fills them with an appropriate system, one with an inappropriate system. Sometimes it's mutter what he does. Sometimes it's also what he does. But the etzem zach that he's doing is entirely logical. In other words, if I I'm cold, I take steps to put myself warm. If I'm hungry, I take steps to feed myself and so on. But the Chai has had a tie into the Nochash. Ma hanor yesh lach. In other words, when I go and talk Lashon Hara about somebody, what need am I filling? In other words, what is there? What am I lacking? What do I have? What physical need or what need bichlal do I have which I'm filling? If I wouldn't talk this, I'm cold, I'm hungry, I'm tired, whatever. Afa pichen, we know that there's an unbelievable yetzahara to talk Lashon Hara. That's why it's so hard not to. So what precisely does it do to me? What is there that the talking wrong things or bad things, why does it help me? Why is it such a terrific urge? So much so that unless there's lachash, unless there's some kind of counteraction which is taken by somebody who knows how to do it, just like the snake charmer controls the snake, the tongue is going to talk. You're going to talk. So we really need to answer two things on this. In other words, the two aspects which need to be explained. Aspect number one, why do you want to do it? Aspect number two, why is it such a natural sort of urge to lash out at somebody else? So on the question number one, like what is it? What is the need within the person? Like where does this Yetzer Hara of talking Lashon Hara come from? There's the Gaon and Mishlei, we've mentioned it a couple of times. It's G'day to Chazed Ovum. It's important to know. The Posuk in Mishlei, that's in Mishlei Aleph Posuk Chof Beis. Admosai Pesoyim Te'ehavu Pesi. He calls out, he says to you, you psoim, you fools, he says, how long will you love folly? Veleitzem lotzoin chamdulahem. How long do you leitzem desire lotzoin? Ukesilim yisnu doas. And how long will you fools hate understanding? So the three things mentioned in the Pasha. Psoim who love pesi, leitzem who crave lotzoin, and Xilem, who hate Das. Now, what makes all those three people tick? Like, why are they the way they are? So the Gaon says as follows. It says, B'nei Odom machikim atzmam min ha-toyro machmas shloisha inyonim. There are three reasons for a person not to learn. You don't always feel like learning. Why not? So the Gaon says there are three general categories of people who don't want to learn. Horishon, Machmas shenitfesu beyitzram leilach achatava sa'olam hazeh. V'soivrim shezehu be'etzem toiv v'yiyakein le'olam. It's more fun to eat a pizza than to learn. And therefore, I have taivas of olam hazeh, and I think that they're going to give me something, and so I don't feel like learning. V'asheni, second reason why people sometimes battle, is machmas shechafetzim ledabet dvorim betelem. They just enjoy talking dvorim betelem. Af she'ein bozeh hanoos oilam hazeh, although there's real no hanoa from it, the way we explained it a minute ago, and the Gaon is soon going to explain, if so, why do they want to do it? Mikol mokam hu mosuk etzlam. Nevertheless, it's something which is very sweet. They find it a very sweet, desirable thing. Vashlishi, third reason why a person might not want to learn, is machmas shetalmudam kosha aleihem, because they find learning tough. V'roitzeh shehatoyro tova aleihem me'atzmo b'li toireach. And they can't be bothered to make the effort to be able to understand what they're learning. V'kesheroyim she'ein hatoyro bo le'yodam oizvim oiso ki'einam royim m'sikusa. And when they see that toyro doesn't come so easy, and they've tried a few minutes and it doesn't click, so then they stop learning because they don't know how sweet and nice the Torah is once you do start learning. So therefore they don't begin in the first place. So the three reasons, the three major categories of people who are not learning are the ones who want to substitute Tyrus Adam Hazer, the two who want to talk to one Batalim, and the three who cannot summon up the energy which is required to learn meaningfully. And that's what the Pasuk means over here. V'zeh shenema ad mosai pesoyim, hu nega da holchem acha pitu yitzram, lirdav acha taivas olam hazeh. Pesi is somebody who allows himself to be persuaded. Pitu, you're learning now in Gemara, but oin is a mefater, right? So pesi is somebody who is easily nispater. He's easily persuaded to go bosser his taivas. So ad mosai pesoyim, hu nega da holchem acha pitu yitzram, lirdav acha taivas olam hazeh. Te'eavu pesi, tiyu noichem lispatos. Yeah? How long will you enjoy allowing yourself to be persuaded? V'leitzem, hu negat kat ha-shni yoshem yoshve kronos, lotzoin chomdu lohem, ki bo zeh ein lohem afhanu os ha-guf, rak shem chomdu es ha-lotzoin, machmas shi yaveira gedoyla. That's the second category. And thirdly, uchsilem yisnu udoas, hu negat ha-kat ha-shlishes, she'en ha-chafetzem v'troyach v'leidas ha-toyra, הם נקראים כסילים, כי הכסילו היפך היודר, והם שלושה דאגן ממטה למעלה. By the way, this is very instructive. It touches on something we had a few sessions back about the ksil hating das. Remember, we were talking about the disinclination to chazer. If you don't know the Gemara very well, you don't enjoy chazer. And remember, we were much with that because you feel threatened by the Gemara. Yeah, you hate it. Because here it was, you were learning it, and you still don't know it, and you're not clear, and it's no fun, and it's no nothing. Right? So you'd rather try your luck with a new sugya. Yeah? In other words, like when you don't learn carefully enough, when you don't allow yourself to get the clarity which is required and which is necessary if you're going to enjoy the learning, so then on the contrary, the learning becomes a real great threat because it tells you and it brings home to you, oh, listen, I've wasted my time and I haven't been doing what I was supposed to be doing, so what's the point of it all? So you don't like it. Yisnu does the ksil, is soin it does. He doesn't just say, oh, look, I'm not smart enough and I can't do it, so okay, yeah. But he hates it. The reason why he hates it, of course, is because he feels very, very threatened by it. So those are the three categories. So now the pasuk goes on, and he says like this. Toshuvu l'solchachti. Come back to my tochacha. Hine abiyo lochem ruchi. I will tell you my ruach. Oidia devorai eschem. And I will teach you my words. So the Gaon learns that these three invitations are connected the three categories which he dealt with till now. So it's as follows. Toshuvu l'seichachti, neged shloisha haniskorin le'el, oime l'chol echot refu'ase. He's giving the refu'a to each one of the three. Neged ha-mispatim v'yitzrom le'lech aratavas oile mazeh, oime toshuvu l'seichachti. Sh'refu'osam l'shabet tavosam v'yitzrom b'divrei techocha u'musa. V'kmei sh'omu zichronin v'rocha, v'im lo yizgelo yoim ha-misa. Okay, that's number one. If what's dragging you away from learning is the pizza, you know what to do. Zaya Mensch, yeah, realize that you ought not to be so weak. You ought to realize where the real values are. Break your tithes a little bit. You can live without one. What's a good way of doing that? Well, I mean, you know, like Tchvula is Tasa Mechama. Or as an Indian of fighting with skill and with cunning. Sometimes a person can't break his taivas just by saying to himself, well, I ought not to be Valtaiva, I ought not to be right of after these things. So what does he do? So yeah, he finds an aid, he goes on a diet. No? So now he's already got a shlikel shleilishma. Alright, so anyway, I'm eating too much and I need more exercise. And try and get yourself into a matzav to get a greater control over yourself. That's the toshuvu l'seichachti. I mean, obviously, the underlying motivation will be to listen to the Rabbi Nishan's teichacha in order not to be such a big bal taiva, but you do that in whatever way is successful. But what's nagir to us is the second category. And here the Gaon says an important yesod, a very, very yesodistic one. Hine abia lochem ruchi neged bale lotzon v'yoshve kronos. That's neged the leitzonim and the ones who sit and shmuz and bull. She'en lohem taivas olam hazeh. And who don't really have any taivas olam hazeh. So why do they do it? Elo halotzon chomdu lohem. It's an inexplainable thing, really, that they crave leitzanus, but without any real logic behind it. Kirucham leinocha v'lo shokta, their spirit can find no rest. Achi yedabru divrei lotzan, u'mizeh lohem nachas ruach. That's what they enjoy. V'hatam, why is a taka like that? What makes a person tick? Why is a person like that? Whatever a person does, every action brings about a reaction from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam tends to reinforce whatever it is that you're doing. You do a certain thing, so then the Ribbono Shel Olam is mashpia on you a ruach, which makes that action a part of you and encourages you to continue. V'zeho ruach eino noch v'shoket atcha oisit oid dvorim ko'ele v'hu nene mehem. U'mizeh yesh le'nachas ruach hein b'dva mitzvah v'hein b'dva avera. V'zeho mitzvah gereres mitzvah v'avera gereres avera. It means we understand it in a natural way also. We enjoy doing what we do well. So we do something, we get into the habit of doing it, so then this is something which we enjoy doing. We become skilled, we become articulate, we become eloquent, if it is about talking, whatever it is. But the Gaon says it's more than that. It's that the Ribbono Shel Olam actually sends a ruach to be misayeya. B'chol dvar aveiro shehi gedoilo, gam haruach habo mimeno hi gedoilo, o misave oid yoysel aveiro. You do a great mitzvah, a kodeshlik mitzvah, then a ruach comes down and makes you enjoy that mitzvah very, very much, and you want more and more of it. And now comes the punchline. It says, "Be yodua, sha mitzvah hagedoylo mikol ha-mitzvahs hi limud ha-toyah." There's no greater mitzvah, not all the mitzvahs, than learning, which you do with your mouth, which you do with your mind. Ulehefach, dvorim v'teilem v'leitzonos, shehem hefach ha-toyah. Ulochein yesh hanor mitvorim v'teilem v'leitzonos, yoyser mikol ho-averos. Af she'em bozeh oylem hazeh. Ach machmas shuruach ha-tumo gedoylo ad me'oid, v'hi k'mayon ha-noveya, Hefach ha-toyro shehi k'mayin ha-noveya. Lo zeh oyma ha-lo em, lo zeh oylem ha-zeh klal, rak ha-no hi machma shu hefach ha-toyro, vi avere gedoy levuach ha-tum ha-noveya, hine abiyo lochem ruchi, v'osti elochem al yedei ruach ha-kodosh, ha-no gedoy lo k'mayin ha-noveya, ubevadai, tiye ye ha-no az ruach ha-toyro, gedoy lo mikulam, kitam ha-toyro k'neged kulam. Ha-no az ruach ha-kodosh, gedoy lo miruach ha-tum ha-tum ha-mepnei shezuhi ha-no ha-metos. So he's saying this, Mishon Adiki Yisai. Says that the Hanor of Litzanus, the Hanor of Dvorim V'Teilem, is the Zel U'mazel, is the other side of the coin of the Hanor of learning. In other words, that the Ribbono Shel Olam put into the teva of a person that he has an enormous craving for knowledge. He has an enormous craving for understanding. Tell him Kuf Yutes if you said it or not. Right? It's full of this constant more hafti soyrosecha. Right? There's a terrific ava, there's a terrific hanoah in understanding. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'harev no Hashem elokeinu es divrei sarosecha b'finu v'yamru beis Yisroel. We pray for arevus, because the emes is that there is no hanoah, there is no pleasure to be compared with the pleasure of knowledge, the pleasure of clear understanding, clear handling of difficult, complicated concepts. And when finally they fall into place and you see a picture, you see the harmony, you see the relationships, you see the structure, you see how the whole thing fits together, that is an unbelievable hanoah. That's how Ribbono Shel Olam made us. Our mind is nehene from that. So just like the greatest mitzvah is Torah, and therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam has placed in the person the faculty of being nene enormously from an intellectual achievement. So the zele umazeh, the chelik which the Yetzer Hara was given, that he should be able to draw us away from Torah, is to use those same very hanor kelim, those parts of us which give us hanor intellectually from understanding things and from grasping the concepts of the Torah, to use those things for Dvorim B'Telim and Lotzon, that is the hanor. In other words, if we ask ourselves, where is the mokar of the hanor? What drives me? What makes me want to be a Leitz? What makes me want to talk Dvorim B'Telim? And by extension, what makes me want to talk Dvorim Asurim? The answer is, because I have a terrific Hanor machine inside me. And that Hanor machine is plugged in to my mind, and it's plugged into my mouth. And that Hanor machine is what I tap when I talk Dvorim B'Telim and Divrei Lotzon and Lashon Hara. Now it's a misuse of the positive koyach which the Ribbono Shel Olam placed in us because of his rotzon to be mahane us through his Torah. So, if the teva is, if the Ribbono Shel Olam made his world in such a way that whatever we do, the Ribbono Shel Olam pours down a ruach upon us, which makes us want to do more of it, which makes us want to develop that and grow in it and continue in it. So then, this ruach is coming down with enormous shefa, because it's the ruach which is really meant to introduce me to the sweetness of learning, the sweetness of understanding Torah. What I'm doing is, I'm plugging in and getting the same hashpa to the other side. That is why there is such a terrific tshuka for that. So, this is the first half of the Yishach HaNochash V'loy Lachash. That is why if there's no Lachash, if you don't do something about it, you're going to be Nichshol in the Chatoim of the Loshon. Incidentally, how do you charm a snake? You ever saw anybody charm a snake? Yeah, you saw? So how do they do it? Oh, music. That's his hour. Yeah, you've seen him squatting down with a flute, and they play, and the snakes become mamish, like they become absolute bailim over the snakes. So that's very interesting that the Ribbono Shel Olam made the teva that you can fight the nochash, you can control the nochash with beauty, with sweetness. You don't take a rolling pin and knock the snake over the head, right? That way you kill the snake. That's not good. What you do is you entrance it. Now, what you make it so focused on the music that it doesn't have time to bite. It's not interested in biting because its entire mind is focused on the music. I saw a fellow once with snakes. Actually, he didn't use music. But he used, very interesting, he used also beauty, grace, very interesting. He moved his hands around, and that sort of hypnotized the snake. And they didn't have time for anything else. Again, the same thing. In other words, what's the mahalach? I don't advise anybody to try it. I guess you have to be trained in it. But it's again, in other words, like the grace of the movements, you know, nothing was fast, nothing was sort of brutal, nothing was crass. Very, very beautiful, very, very soft, very, very graceful. And that movement hypnotizes the snake, and the snake hasn't got any koyach to bite. So it's beauty which can wean us away from our rotzon to bite. And that's a really big musa, because I don't think that's just a coincidence. I think that is exactly the way things are. And perhaps if we are less than successful in curing ourselves of Lashon Hara, let's say, of Litzonus and Dvarim B'Teilim, it may be because we use the rolling pin method, right? You sit down and you learn a lot of Musa, you're not supposed to be bad and you're supposed to be good, and that's all very right. It is limited in its effectiveness, right? But what would be if we Taka did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he wants to do? He says, Abia Lohem Ruchi. That's what he says over here. He says, let me teach you some of my Torah, he says. That is the true Hanoah. In other words, to allow ourselves to experience the beauty of harmonious living with other people, right? We very rarely give ourselves a chance for true friendship, true closeness. There's a reason for that. Yeah, I think that in a way, nowadays we're very much victims of our society. We tend to be raised with fear. We're very, very afraid. I mean, often, unfortunately, with reason. In other words, we're constantly in a matter of fear. We live in a society where people are out to cheat us much of the time, to mistreat us part of the time, to do ugly things, to do bad things. We're pounded constantly. In other words, we are used, we become suspicious. We know that there's lots of ra outside. We know there's lots of evil there. Everybody's trying to get at us. Sometimes with the best intentions, right? Don't mean necessarily that they try to harm us. But we know, for example, you can't read a paper, you can't read a magazine. It's harmful. You can't talk to people. They infest you with their filth, right? We're constantly threatened by relations. We're constantly in a state of a fortress mentality. And we need to be, because we are constantly exposed to all kinds of negative influences from the outside. But I think that takes its toll. And I'm not talking now only, let's say, in our relationships to Goyim or in our relationships to Freie Yidden. We've gotten so scared, we can't even be nice anymore to Yidden who think differently than we do, right? Within normative Judaism, within what the Torah teaches, people who keep Shabbos, put on tefillin, and eat kosher, and believe their ideas and their shittas to be firmly based on the Torah, their understanding of what Chazal teach, or perhaps their adherence to one shitta as against another. There's a tendency nowadays to be very, very afraid. You think differently than I do. Your yarmulke is manufactured differently. Your language runs like this. I'm scared. I can't talk to you. You're treifer. You're bad. It's an unhappy kind of situation. It's not the way it used to be. One of the nicest, the most beautiful Kiddush Hashems in the history, in recent history is the first Knessir Gedoyla of the Agudas Yisroel. When the Agudas Yisroel was first founded, it was in the 20s or 30s, I don't know my dates exactly, and when so many Gedoyla Yisroel came together from very, very different sort of backgrounds. There were the Litvish, there were the Tzidish, there were the Hungarians, there were the Germans. They were like from very, very many different backgrounds, and they were all big enough not to be afraid of each other, right? And they were all able to be mechabed one another and not to fear that because I hold differently in this point, so I'm going to want to impose my shit on you. There wasn't this kind of protectiveness, there wasn't the kind of nervousness, there wasn't the kind of tension. And because they were able to get together and be mechabed each other and deal derech eretz dikri with each other. The toitzos which came out from the Moshe from Deknesi Gedali were Moshe Dikri Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And as the years advanced, decades passed, and people became less able to function in that form. In other words, there was a greater polarization. I'm talking now within productiveness becomes limited, becomes inhibited. There tends to be competition, there tends to be tension, there tends to be all kinds of things which are destructive rather than constructive. So I think that that kind of attitude filters down also into our personal relationships. I hear that again and again and again from Bachem. I don't have a friend. Right? I have plenty of voices and I get on fine and I'm not fighting with anybody and I don't, nobody punches me in the nose. But I don't have a friend. I don't have somebody with whom I'm really close. I don't have somebody with whom I really feel the way friends should feel. I think that that is one of the korbanos of our Goyim. I can't tell you, I can't prove it mathematically, and I wasn't around 50 years ago to know that then it was different. I really don't know. But my seichel tells me that that is part of it. But friendship, I think, love, harmony between people can be very, very beautiful. And when a person allows himself to experience what true friendship, true love, true oneness, achdus, can be, so then that's like the music which charms the snake. In other words, then he focuses his attention on the positive aspects of niceness. So what does he want to go and mess that up for? In other words, he knows that it's much more beautiful to love and to be loved than to hate and be hated. And suddenly, the tshuka to bite and the tshuka to harm and the tshuka to be nasty recedes. You can charm the snake with beauty, with grace, and with the sweetness of the flute. It's a very, very sort of remarkable kind of piece of teva. Now, what is it? Why do I feel so threatened by you? So that I have to lash back. I mean, what the Gong said till now was more the Indian of Lotzon. He dealt with Lotzon. I only sort of applied it to Lashon Hara because it's true. And Lashon Hara is an extension of Lotzon and Dvorim B'Tehillim. But now getting to the Lashon Hara itself, like, why do I lash out? Why is there such a... What is it? Is it hatred? Is it I don't like you? So why do I enjoy talking in Lashon Hara about people whom I don't even know? I never set eyes on them, right? But somehow, it's a funny thing. I just wondered about it last night. I had a kid in my house, nice little kid, no problems. I mean, wasn't doing anything that any kid wouldn't do. So somehow, she made it. It was a girl. She made a joke. Oh. Like there's a reform shul there on Park Heights Avenue. They say, on Yom Kippur they have coffee breaks. Right? That's a very terrible thing. It's not very, very bad to drink coffee on Yom Kippur. But I wanted to know what made that take. Why did she want to say that? Like, what hanno did she have? Ma niskapsu kolachai et etzel hanochash. Omu ma hanno yeshva. So I was masbir to her, like in a way, I had no tainus to her. She's only shusa di nuka, the avad image, she's a product of her society. So, I mean, I should have had no tainus to her. But as I said to her, look, so when you can you imagine if there's a family? I said, pretend that there's a family. And one of the children in the family is doing something bad, he's taking drugs, or he's doing some other terrible thing, yeah? So isn't it true that the people in the family would be ashamed to talk about it? They wouldn't want to talk about that. It's something you don't talk about, it's something you acquire, it's neostic within the family, what you have to mention. You mention, but like this, you don't talk about it. She said, yeah, she's out in the mustache. I said, no. Yeah? mean, that's family. So it's something which is sad, it's something which is, of course it's not good, but why should we somehow take pleasure in talking about it? Let's be ashamed of it. Yeah, it's our brother who's having a coffee break on Yom Kippur. It would be my real brother. I'd feel awful. Right? The joke is, it is my real brother. Interesting thing about Ach, no? What does Ach mean? What's the translation of Ach? Huh? What? Yeah. But I'm talking about the brother Ach. Yeah. So the Teva is to translate Ach as brother, right? But that's probably not a correct translation. It's not a bad translation. Nothing terribly wrong with it, but I don't think it's an accurate translation. I mean, you find in the Torah constantly that Ach is used for relative also, right? Yeah. Lova, Achi, Imma, whatever it is, right? So. I'll know Achai Toreu. Ach comes from the verb, the Poyel Ocho Aleph Ches Hei, which means to sew together, to tie. You have the Gavin Avelis, you have a Kriyash Sha'ina Misache. Ocho means to tie, to sew together, right? So Ach is somebody who's close, right? We're knotted together, we're tied together. So sometimes that can be very close, that's a blood brother, right? Sometimes it can be a little different. We're tied together as being two parts of a community. We belong together. We belong to the same shevet. We belong to the same, yeah? So Ach doesn't really mean brother. Brother is just one aspect of Achidness, right? Ach means close. Ach means sewed together. That's really what Ach means. So I said to look, I feel embarrassed when I hear something like that. My brother's doing something bad. That's awful. I certainly don't talk about it. I certainly don't sort of try and get some kind of pleasure So what did she need? I don't know. Let's say it's that she needed to feel good. She doesn't have a coffee break. Yeah, I mean, is that what you get your kicks from, that you don't drink coffee on Yom Kippur? That's a bad state. Yeah, I mean, if that's what's going to make you feel good. So what is it? What is it? What is it that makes a person want to stech the other person? So he feels threatened. Why does he feel threatened? So I think that the vote is, and it's a very, very basic kind of thing, and it's not an easy avoider, but it's an avoider which we have to sort of get ourselves into if we're going to live somewhat Jewish lives. Rabbi Yisrael talks about it, I think. And he says that the tension between two people, the fighting, the rotzen, the feeling of being threatened, is the most basic of all middos. And it goes back quite a ways to Cain and Hevel. You can't get much further back, right? Because it's like a modern Azar. I mean, here you had two people who had the entire world to share between them. Right? I mean, they really couldn't complain that there wasn't enough space to go around. I mean, there was Cain and there was Abraham and Amar Amen. That was it. And they couldn't get out of each other's hair. They had to go and kill each other. Like, what is it? L'chayre d'chapele. If he would have gone to Tibet and he would have gone to Persia, they would never have seen each other, they would never have heard each other, they could have lived happily ever after. What did they have to go and compete for? And yet you see that that's the most basic thing. Put two mention in the world and you have a Ritzicha. That's unbelievable. So why is it happening like that? Right? Why is that? That I feel so threatened by somebody else, even a Cain by a Hevel. So I think that perhaps, I don't know, I can't tell you really, I can't prove this mathematically, but I believe that perhaps the thing that makes it tick is Mitoch Genusoi Atoshamea Shvocha. I think that from this rather sad truth that we do tend to hate one another, unless we are careful and do things about it, we can learn our Shvach. I think that the explanation is, those of you who were there, Vashalasuras, when I spoke today, I think I said the answer to that. In other words, because Chayiv Odom Laime Bishvili Nivra Ha'ilam. In other words, man is taka so big that he has a neshama which is big enough to encompass the whole world. And yeah, it's true, there was an entire world to be shared between Cain and Hevel, and there was one person too much for Cain. Right? Because the tshuka of a person is taka unlimited. He taka wants that bishvili nivra ha'olam. He wants everything. And that is precisely what the Rabbeinu Shalom wants from the person. The person, the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us that tshuka. The Rabbeinu Shalom gave us that koyach within ourselves to want to schlep everything into ourselves. Reason why the Rabbeinu Shalom gave that to us was because he wanted us to crave closeness to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He wanted us to crave him. And for that, you need a limitless capacity to want. What we do wrong is, when we use that craving, just like we learned before in the Gaon, that we use this nene faculty, instead of for Torah, for Dvarim B'Tehillim, when we misuse our craving faculty, and instead of craving the Rabbeinu Shalom, we crave space, then we become threatened. Because however much there is available to me, but I want nothing less than everything. And if you are in my way, and maybe I never even saw you, I never met you, I never will meet you, right? But I've got to establish myself on your back that I am the greatest. And therefore, your coffee break gives me a kick, right? Which is really more. Like, that's missing. Does that's the home? I mean, you can't live without that. Are you so unsure of yourself? Are you so much of a shivre kele that that's what you need? You've got to tell yourself, "Oh, I'm Mr. Okay, because I don't have a coffee break on Yom Kippur." And says yes, right? Like, I need every little chizuk for my being, because I'm so tense the whole time to want more and more and more and more and more. I have to schlep around everything into my orbit, and if there's anybody in my way at all, I feel threatened and I have to lash out. So the answer, of course, is once that's recognized, of course, a person then should be able to cope with it much better. In other words, to realize what makes him want to do it, and to pull himself up short and to realize the absolute stupidity of that. In other words, that what an unbelievable amount of wasted effort and wasted creativity and wasted intelligence and wasted relationships and wasted time and wasted humanity lies in allowing oneself to be dragged into that kind of quagmire, right? Sometimes it's a good idea. A person wants to do an avera, and he feels that he has a craving to do something wrong. Sometimes it's a little bit of an etzer, and it can be done to sort of try and imagine himself outside his own body. If you were watching the scene as a disinterested party from the outside, you come into a room and you hear two people talking Lashon Hara together. And let's assume for a moment that you're not terribly interested in what's going on, right? Well, but you see the thing as a theoretical thing. So I think that it's easy enough to feel, what do they have to do it for? Why do they do that? Yeah? They're somehow breaking that Tzelem Elokim. They're making themselves so low. They're making themselves so stupid, so nothing, so empty. There's nothing there, like, what is needed for? Tells is when you're one of the two, so then it's harder, because then you're in the grips of this tshuka. But if a person were able to toil that with himself, to be able to get himself outside of himself, and to look down and see, wow, what are these people doing? What are they needed for? Then perhaps he would be able to control himself better in these things. That's perhaps the part of the lachash also. If you're going to break the biting of the nachash by showing it beauty and grace, so the first aspect of that beauty which we talked about was the niceness of living harmoniously in friendship with a loving kind of relationship. That can be an enormously positive experience. Another kind of beauty which we can show that nachash is the beauty of self-sufficiency, the beauty of self-confidence, the beauty of knowing that I don't need to knock you in order to feel good with myself. And for that, there's a very easy recipe. Learn to feel good about myself for the right thing. Direct the capacity of craving in the right direction where you're guaranteed instant fulfillment. Because ani kiva selakim li tov. It's nice to relate to the Rabbanu Shalom. It's nice to daven well. It's nice to sort of tzomo nafshi lelakim lekerchoi, right? It's not nice to be thirsty. It's nice to be thirsty for the Rabbanu Shalom. As a person learns to direct those faculties in the right direction, the whole other mahalach is going to be nimas to him. There's no hanof, there's no cheshek, there's no tachlis to it, and you can get busy in building a worthwhile human edifice instead of creating a ruins of broken pasts and broken futures, broken talents and broken skills, ugliness instead of beauty. It's a very, very sad picture, right? But it's all not necessary. So that's what Kehelet says. In Yishar Hanochash B'loi Lochash, it's Ein Yisrain Lebal HaLoshan. One thing we can say with absolute certainty, and that is that the Baal HaLoshon has no Yisran. There's not a thing that he gains from it. Like, even if he indulges himself and he lets himself go, and he talks to Baal Matelim or he talks to Baal Masurim, one thing is certain, that 5 minutes later, he feels a great big emptiness inside him. Because Ein Yisran, there's not a thing that it's got him. It hasn't gotten him beans. All it's gotten him is a bad conscience. And that we can do very well without. Okay.